the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, unless you've been living under a rock for these past 3 weeks, you've no doubt noticed that we in the Washington metro area have endured a record 19 straight days of recordable rain. And fingers crossed, today, so long as the forecasters are right, today appears to be the day when that seemingly endless cycle of precipitation finally comes to an end. And upon waking this morning, my eyes beheld a beautiful sunrise, the sun in its splendor, adorning the morning sky with various shades of reds, oranges, and yellows. And you know, it was like welcoming an old friend who I had not seen for far too long. But prior to this morning's sunrise, as we endured that stretch of day after day after day after day of rain, we were forced, in large part, to spend our time indoors. Indeed, the time we would have used to do outside chores, such as mowing, pruning, gardening, as well as those fun activities of sports, picnics, going for walks, going for rides on a motorcycle, what have you, they were taken away from us by storm fronts that ranged from walls of mist to torrid downpours. The rain restricted us from doing and participating in all of those things, perhaps those things we took for granted while we had the sun. And so we were stuck inside, forced to live much of our lives indoors, which can make us a bit restless and antsy, can't it? I know I, myself, have been very frustrated with this rain on more than one occasion, to the point where I wanted to raise my fist to the sky and say enough. I can't tell you how many times these past 3 weeks that I called out for mercy because of what this rain was doing to my landscaping business. And so, helpless to do anything about it, I used the time I had indoors, planning and preparing for those jobs that I needed to do once the sun finally came. I also realized that to an extent, but certainly not to the extremity that we've experienced lately, that my business was dependent upon the rain. For without it, the grass wouldn't grow. The trees and bushes wouldn't need pruning. Yes, even weeds wouldn't grow without moisture, so there would be no need to mulch flower beds and the like. Without the rain, flowers wouldn't yield their beautiful blooms, and the wonderful fragrances that they emit wouldn't be known. You see, in order for us to enjoy all of those things we do under the sun, we need the rain that precedes it. And when the sun finally does return, we resume that life of living outdoors, of living under the sun and its glory. Moments of happiness and tranquility come back into our lives, for in those moments, we become shrouded by an innate sense of harmony and joy that seems to take us back, if only for a brief second or two, to a time when nothing else mattered and we could live at peace with ourselves and with the world. Now, all of us know that those moments don't typically last too long, do they? As we live in a fallen world, a world embattled with conflict, sin, unpredictability, tragedy, and death. But nonetheless, those brief and short-lived brushes with joy and happiness make all the difference in our lives. They make life worth living, don't they? But it is because we live in a fallen world, because of sin, we need those periods of rain, where we are forced to retreat not just into our homes, but inwardly into our souls. This is what makes our Lenten period so providential. Just as we need the rain to make things grow, we need Lent in order to allow our souls to mature. For as it is with the rain, when the sun comes out and everything is seen, nothing remains hidden. So it is for us. In coming out of the great Lenten fast, the Son, Jesus Christ, has revealed himself to us in all his splendor by way of his glorious resurrection. He, who as the gospeler John says, is our shepherd, and we his sheep. Now, it wasn't until yesterday, when the sun finally came out for a time, that the Lord began to show me this connection between rain and Lent, the sun in Christ's most holy resurrection. You see, we don't truly know ourselves until the fast is over. Some may say that the fast is the most difficult period of the church year, but I say no. No, fasting is easy. Living a world post-fast, that is, living without restriction, is the hard part. Certainly there are temptations, and we are confronted with particular sins during Holy Lent. But we tend to keep Christ at the forefront of our minds during this time. As we do so with great anticipation, that the liberator of our sins will rise from the grave, as St. John's Gospel says in chapter 6, 16, verse 33, overcome the world. But what happens the moment after Pascha? Do we still follow Christ with the same measure of love and spiritual diligence that we had during Lent? Or do we frequently roam about the world? Do we become a bit lax in our judgment and venture into those pastures and meadows that are tumultuous and ridden with pitfalls? Those places that exist outside of the fold of our Lord and Shepherd. During Lent, things tend to slow down a bit. We live by the speed limit, so to speak, of fasting and prayer. But once Pascha comes, and directly after, life speeds up again, doesn't it? And it is not until then that he is here and now that we are put to the test, to see if those preparations have paid off. Have we applied what we have learned about ourselves and our call to be better Christians? Or did we leave it behind at Pascha? I'll be the first to admit that I haven't even begun to grasp the magnitude of Christ's death and resurrection, those implications, and what it means not just to humanity, but to the universe, are a bit lost on me. Certainly I can venture a thought or two about it, but I'll never be able to understand it completely. And none of the rest of us will be able to either. But herein lies the difference between the sheep and shepherd. The shepherd knows where he is going. He knows where he takes his sheep. He has full knowledge of all places and things. But the sheep are limited in their knowledge and must trust in the shepherd. My friends, Christ is our great shepherd. Christ has led us out of Lent to Pascha and now beyond. We have arrived at Pascha, and yet Christ is now leading us into new pastures and new meadows, as we once again embark out into the world as resurrection people. However, we can't take our eyes off him. We cannot afford to take our eyes off Christ, or the wolf will come quickly and most certainly devour us. The moment we stray, the moment we wander off on our own, we put ourselves in a very dangerous and vulnerable position and are at the mercy of a cruel and unforgiving world. And it doesn't take much to cause us to stray from the rest of the flock. But yet, I'll venture to say we've all had those instances where we've seemingly taken our eyes off Christ, if only for a second. And when we look back in his direction, we see that he is already miles away from us. As St. Peter declares in this morning's epistle, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now is our time to return to the shepherd of our souls." Christ is calling us to come back into the fold, to return to that life of righteousness that remains so long as we abide under the care of his provision. For each of you were bought at a price by he who bore your sins on a tree. And he calls us this morning to return to him, to come back into the fold where sin is cast down and where joy and tranquility endure forever and ever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.